The
Mojo
Goose.
That's Don Farden, I'm Alive. This is the Loose Goose Radio Show. In fact, furthermore, it's the Mojo Goose tonight. Peter, what on earth could that be?
Well, we're talking, and in fact, we've got our Mojo talking, in that we've got a very, very special guest on the show, Tony Beasley. We'll hear from him in a bit. And he's here to talk about his life as a writer, the books that he has written, but in particular, the Jest Out Mojo Talking Under the Influence of Mod.
Could you just flip the pages across the mic just to prove how big this book is?
We're not going to say too many. We're not going to say how many pages just yet.
Oh, look at the pages on that.
Hang on, I'm nearly there.
Thing of beauty.
Now Is the Time by The Free Design.
Sees me in the night, cause I'm ready for love.
And I know it's for me, cause I finally see just how full I can be. Now's the time for me,
the time for me.
Now's the time for love.
Oh baby, smother me in the morning. It's the right time to cover me in the night, cause I'm ready for love.
I know it's for me, cause I finally see just how full I can be. That's the time for me,
the time for me.
Now is the time for love and me now. No, 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 no.
Now
is the time for love and me now. No, 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 no.
It's the time now, but never let go. It's the now time for show and me.
Oh, baby, you and me could get moving in the right time, so groove me in the night.
Cause I'm ready for love and I know it's for me, cause I finally see just how full life can be. Now's the time for me.
Now
is the time for love and me. Now is the time for love and me. Now is the time for love and me.
So on the Loose Goose is the Mojo Goose, as we said at the beginning. So let's do some mojo talking. And to do that, we introduce Tony Beasley. Hello, Tony.
Hi there.
You okay, Tony?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
Can Great. I just say, before we go any further, the first thing I noticed, this is not the usual kind of home counties London accent, which I've accused you of in the past, Peter.
Well, that's right. I mean, we've had sort of, in the past, we've been, you know, we've interviewed, and I'm honoured to interview people like Adrian Holder, Matt Dayton, Steve White, of course. But here's a proper regional accent speaking.
The provinces now, yeah.
That's it, yeah, very much so. We're perhaps out of our safety zone there,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's it.
Where are you based, Tony?
South Yorkshire, Roe Marsh, near Rob from Sheffield. Sheffield's kind of my place where I go a lot.
Okay.
Excellent. So, we're doing this special. We're doing this Loose Goose Radio special, all to do with your most recent publication, Tony, Mojo Talking Under the Influence of Mod. Correct in thinking it's not officially out in print yet, but like myself and quite a number of lucky others, we are holding copies. Tell us a little bit about how these copies have made their way out to people ahead of the actual official publication date.
Right, yeah, I mean, the official publication date is June 1st. And I promised to get everybody's pre-orders out before then. You know, obviously, the other parts of the world, I can't guarantee the postal system's going to get them at a set date, but they're all out there now. Every pre-order, every book that's been purchased is out there. Going through, it was just sort of like an incentive, and you know, kind of a respect to the contributors and anyone that showed interest and wanted to purchase it. And I just thought it was a really good idea, you know, and it gets things moving along.
Yeah, of course. And let's be sort of accurate about this, sort of mathematically accurate. You actually sent them out in the exact order that you took the pre-orders, isn't it?
We did, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And I've seen the photos on sort of Facebook and so on. You've sent boxes and boxes of these out late last week from sort of, was it Thursday of last week or even Wednesday?
We got the order Tuesday late, and I think we got 10 out that day, from 1 to 10, and the next day it was just constant trips to the post office in order of the pre-orders were purchased.
Excellent. Yeah, and you must be on good terms then with the post office. They're
very good. Job I am, yeah.
They're okay.
Thank you.
This book, Mojo Talking Under the Influence of Mod, is a follow-up to your best-selling book to do with Mod, Sawdust Caesars. Would you like to say a few words about that?
The Mojo Talking, yeah. It's evolved out of the premise of Sawdust Caesars, really. I'd already laid down some groundwork for it, even as Sawdust were being published. At that point, I wasn't sure in what exact direction it was going to go. It kind of complements Sawdust Caesars, but I was very careful not to replicate it. I wanted to stretch the boundaries of what had already been covered, but more to point, I wanted to cover themes that had not been covered previously. Throughout, I attempted to cover as many modern-related influences as possible, really. Themes are in the book, as you can see, it's quite diverse. The all-important continental influence and the European impact, modern-day fanzine, books itself, psychology of mod, Politics of Mod by a fella called Peter.
Tell me more. Who's this character?
I'm blushing now. I'm blushing in the background.
And also early revival period, the 80s British Soul Revival by Bobby Talton, who was a good friend of mine. 60s record labels are touched upon, photography, art, extensive sections of mod on screen, film and TV by Martin Gainsford. Extensive chapters on female mods and just much more. There's some great people in there, Jason Brummel's done literature, etc. It's a really diverse collective of writers.
I want to ask you a couple of things, Tony. How long did it possibly take you to get something like this together? I mean, it's a huge book.
Yeah, like I said, from Sawdust Caesars, I was kind of already laying out the plans, but I weren't sure exactly the direction. But I'd say roughly 3 years, you know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you as well about the title. Now, bearing in mind, I'm not like Pete. You know, Pete is Mr. Mod. You know, he wanders around in his mod outfit all the time and just lives a mod lifestyle. I'm not necessarily of that persuasion exactly. Although I have become fascinated by it and learnt a lot by doing the Loose Goose Radio Show. Right. The title itself, I mean, I think of the song. You know, got my mojo working and kind of the bluesy kind of stuff.
Yeah, from that.
Is where's the link between that and mod? Is there one or not?
Yeah, there's definitely that link, you know. I mean, that's the mojo working, and this is the mods talking, you know. It's kind of self-descriptive, really, that mods are talking in there about all the different aspects of the culture.
So there's no clash there between blues and mod?
Blues and mod, no. I think it's, you know, it's all in there, you know. I mean, mod, you know, what is the actual mod sound, you know? It can be anything to a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
And with regards to the mention of this, you know, the earliest mods listened to blues. One quite major chapter, Tony, that you didn't mention a few minutes ago, and I think Steve is very keen to find out more about this,
right,
is that you've got, I think there's one chapter entitled Mods and Speeding...
Chapter 7, I think.
Yeah, Speeding
right,
Punks.
Yeah, it's quite a short chapter, that one, but... I'd have extended it further, but, you know, the book's already at 514 pages. It would just... could have gone up to 600 easily, but...
Where's the tie-in, Tony? Sorry to talk across. How does it tie in? Because Peter and I did a Punk Goose recently. What's the kind of tie-in and link, do you think, in terms of kind of musical subgenres, etc.?
Yeah, I think the punk explosion was preempted the mod revival. I think a lot of people came out of punk into the mod revival, both in bands and, you know, mods themselves. I think it's got some similar ideologies, you know, back to basics, after the prog rock and the excesses of the 70s music scene. The early punk look had a bit of a mod kind of thing going in there. I think there's a lot of similarities, and, you know, it's, I try and touch upon that as much as possible. Lots of the bands covered mod songs and so on, you know. There's a lot of connections.
Yeah, there. I think that was mentioned, of course. Yeah, it was, I think, 5 or 6 months ago now when we did...
Was it that long, really?
Yeah, it was, the punk special we did. And I think that was also touched upon in that show.
Well, on the subject of punk, I just wanted to ask Tony, actually, but I don't know if you're going to comment on this, but I went out the other weekend with some friends of mine, with my wife and my daughter, but obviously music was, you know, one of the key aspects of the evening. And she got into conversation with my friend, and who turned out to be not much of a fan of the Jam, you know, Weller and his links to mod culture and everything else. But she was of the opinion, and shoot it down in flames, by all means, she's only my wife, but she's of the opinion that at some stage in their kind of development, the Jam had a relatively kind of punk influence, or, you know, kind of as an entity.
I kind of got into the Jam in my very early teenage years as a punk influence kid. I always kind of considered the Jam firm within the punk explosion, although not, you know, a typical cliched band, you know, they had their own style. And but I think the attitude and the idealism of Weller was very much punk-orientated in that.
Well, she'd be pleased to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, embracing the new, you know, the new revolution, you know, of music. It was all theirs.
Everybody had a good year. Everybody let their hair down.
I was just going to say, Tony, you can probably back this up. It's a bit of a Weller anniversary, as well as, I mean, Paul Weller has his new album, well, it's just out, isn't it? It was released on Friday.
Yeah, I got mine on Saturday.
Yeah, have you heard it yet? Have you,
yeah, I've played it a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very it's quite soul-y. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's very tune-based compared to his experimental material of late. But am I correct in thinking, Tony, that is it 40 years since In the City?
It is, yeah. It's kind of 40 years since this summer when I watched the Jam on Mark Boland show.
Wow.
Yeah,
and blown away with him.
And I think that In the City was released again 40 years ago, around about, you know, now.
Yeah, around about now. Yeah, yeah. That and the First Clash album were kind of the two early pivotal albums in the punk era.
Yeah, I mean, to tie all this in with your writing output, Tony, you know, Mojo Talking and Sword of Caesars, obviously quite mod orientated, although there's far more to be found in these books than just the sort of straitjacketed sort of typical mod themes. Your earlier books were quite punk orientated.
Yeah, they were. First one, Our Generation, were kind of spawned out of a wish to kind of explore the local scene, Sheffield, Robin, Doncaster, and try and, you know, get a focus on, you know, out-of-London scenes. Mm. So, you know, he kind of came from that. The second one, Out of Control, was about two particular venues.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a reprint of that last year as well, that sold out. This Our Generation Calling, that was kind of a continuation of those. It's sort of like a punk and post-punk trilogy, but they had a lot of mod themes in there as well. You know, so it was all that era, really.
Yeah, are they still available? Or I mean,
out of them, the only one available is This Is Our Generation Calling, and I've got limited stock of that. There's probably about 15 or so knocking about.
Just before we forget, then, if there's 15 or so of those sort of still left, copies of that particular publication, and more importantly, Mojo Talking Under the Influence of Mod, if we can't quite get hold of them, you know, in all the shops yet, in all the sort of bookshops, where can we get them from? Is there a website?
Yeah, my website, www.tonybeasleymodworld.co.uk.
And that's
all my books are available, signed copies on there. Mojo Talking, we've got quite a few stock. It's that's feeding through. We've got the TMB Indie Arcade Sheffield, that's in the Nichols Building, Shalesmore. A shop called Dead End Street in Ayrshire. Makers Emporium, High Street, Rotherham. We're going to have Sherry's of London, What Katie Did in Devon. Jimmy Mack Vintage Store in London, run by my friend Bobby, who I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And by June the 1st, and maybe possibly before, the Mojo Talking will be on Amazon. All the other books are already on Amazon.
Okay,
and
brilliant.
eBay, etc. The usual kind of outlets.
So, soon to be on the shelves, you know, at these stockists, both high street stockists and sort of virtual stockists.
Yeah.
You've mentioned your website, but there is a dedicated Facebook page as well,
where
people can
Facebook
sort of share
pages,
share their views.
Yeah, there's photos of the people with the books, and there's a Mojo Talking page and a Sawdust Caesars group. And then the publishing company, Days Like Tomorrow Books, there's a Facebook group on that as well.
So we're absolutely, listeners, you know, we want you to sort of get on Facebook and sort of like all these pages. And there's plenty of pics of the books and sort of people receiving these books to be found on the Facebook pages, aren't there?
Yeah, there's some great pictures coming in, especially over the weekend. And I think a few people will be receiving the books today, so possibly some more later on.
Excellent. And talking about pictures, I mean,
Who is that very handsome chap on the front of the book?
Right, it's Darren Housings.
What's the... Why, of all the people in the world, did you choose those two characters?
Right, usually I search for images and photos that I think would be ideal. And I just... With both that and Sword of Caesars, I just knew straight away instinctively that those images were perfect for the covers. And then you obviously got to get permission. The first one, Sword of Caesars, was Steve Austin, and on the back cover was the lovely Jill Evans. And Darren Housings on the Mojo Talking and Scarlet on the back. And I just knew they were straight away that they were ideal. And I usually kind of research and play around with a few images, but those, I just decided I just need to have them on there to get permission, obviously.
I thought it might have been a young version of yourself, Tony.
I don't know about that, but thank you. Very, very cool, striking image.
Yeah. It's great the way he's kind of wistfully looking at the vinyl as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he kind of covers that because you've got the vinyl there, and records are kind of prominent throughout the book. There's people speaking about record collecting, Samantha Stevens and Smile has got a section in there. So it was just perfect, you know, it was just fantastic. And I usually make a mock-up cover, you know, pretty basic, and then I'll send it to my cover designer, David Spencer. He's a good friend of mine, and he does his thing, and then sends me back a few options. And I think we both knew straight away that these were the right images.
What is the record in his hands, Peter? Can you actually see what it is?
I can't, but that's my eyesight. Yeah. My eyesight's failing me.
I'm not sure exactly what it is. No. I have to ask him, really. It's Snow Island, isn't it, or something?
I was just going to say, I'm sure many of the contributors and many of the readers of the book are going to be au fait with the label and can probably fill us in, you know, by Facebook booking us on our Loose Goose Radio Facebook page.
That's a real mission. We need to find out what the record is.
Absolutely. Images in the book, you know, one of its big selling points is not only attention to detail, it's mod-like attention to detail with regard to the written word. And the images are not just restricted to the back front and back covers, are they, Tony? How many images are throughout the book, roughly?
There's over 900, would you believe?
Blimey.
It's a lot. I really enjoy the design aspect of my books, almost as much as writing in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do design it all myself. Our company, Days Like Tomorrow Books, is a very small independent publishing concern, in which we're in control of everything, from, you know, the titles we publish to design, content, distribution, promotion. It's quite a challenge to devote so much attention to it all, but it's sort of 24/7 and all, really. I suppose, going back to that punk thing, in ethics, a lot of it goes right back to the punk idealism of get up and do it yourself.
Yeah, DIY.
Something I've always adhered to and draw inspiration from. Yeah, I mean, the design in there, you know, I took great care in it all, the layout, and I'd learnt a lot, you know, through previous books. And I feel like every book needs to be an improvement on the last. So there's a lot of time and effort got into that design aspect.
I want to ask you a pretty awkward question, okay, just in my mind.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean it that way. I mean, I don't know how to phrase it, really.
Hang on, this has nothing to do with me. Whatever's going to come out of Steve's mouth now, this has nothing to do with me.
In a kind of a way, it is, right? In a kind of a way, it is. I mean, when you think about what the Loose Goose radio show is, I don't really know about the programme, but, and I know, you know, the writers who crop up in this book, there's like this community, isn't there? There's like this post-mod community of people. Now, Peter and I gave a talk at a conference a while back, and it went very well, actually, but there was one person who was quite critical of it and didn't quite sort of get the interest value of looking back at previous kind of art forms, including things like mod and the iconography and the photography and the storylines and the music. And isn't it just a bunch of old geezers talking about stuff that doesn't really matter anymore? I mean, if I come at it that way, if somebody said that to you, somebody like Peter, this is his life we're talking about, what would you say?
It doesn't matter anymore. Well, you know, we're talking about it. Lots of people are buying books by both myself and other people that are doing similar things. I think it's very important. I think, you know, your past is part of your future. It's important to draw influence from and evolve them, but, you know, not to stay the same and be, you know, depend on the traditional aspects, but to add something new to it. And I think that's one of the things that really appeals to me about the old.
That's a great response.
Evolving with every generation.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Good response.
Because I was just going to say, just to clarify, Tony, that it's not just a bunch of geezers. You mentioned...
Geezerettes.
I mean, you mentioned Samantha Stevens earlier. I mean, we do have the female representatives of mod very much coming through in this volume.
Yes.
And also the younger, I think towards the end of the book, I think after my chapter, which again, a chapter written by a 51-year-old geezer, you know, earlier, chapter 3, the girls take a piece of the action. You then, later on, you've got my chapter again, you know, we won't mention my age another time. But after that, I think you've got chapters written and very much featuring teenagers or you know, guys and girls in their early sort of 20s.
And younger, yeah. Scarlett Bayless, Katie Town, and, you know, various others. And, you know, they've got a really, really clued into the style, individualism as well. You know, they're not kind of just replicating something from the past. I think they're making it their own, and, you know, it's very contemporary.
Yeah.
I just felt that, you know, that needed to be expanded within the book itself. I touched upon it a little bit in the last one. Scarlett did me a small piece on music and her influences, but much more in this, and same with the other ones. And yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's, I think, coming more to the fore. You know, the female involvement, influence over recent years. I've devoted quite a bit in Sword of Caesar, and Jason, the guys did Ready City Girls, which I fully supported and bought. And I think, you know, there's becoming more of a balanced overview rather than the male-centric previous interpretations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to say, you mentioned, I think you mentioned Smiler, Paul Smiler Anderson earlier. And, you know, in that, Mojo Talking is very much a second volume, but something which complements rather than duplicates your first volume, Sword of Caesars. And bearing in mind that Mojo Talking has a significant element which talks about sort of the relationship between mod and the arts, such as, you know, publishing and film and so on, Paul has a book on art due out shortly. Do you feel in that way that this complements his forthcoming book?
I would hope so. Yeah, I mean, I'll be buying that. Yeah, I really enjoy Smiler's work. When Mod the New Religion came out, it was just before I got Sword of Caesars out, and when I saw the visuals in that, I was really inspired and influenced by it. And so, probably when I see Mod Art, I can imagine that it's going to be, you know, absolutely fantastic. And I don't see any kind of rival with any of us writers, publishers, you know, whatever. I think it's just we've all got our own style, you know, and they all, I would hope that they all complement each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, from what I can see of your book, you know, I've also got a copy of Sawdust Caesars. From what I've seen online of Paul's Smiler's art book, I mean, it's absolutely, you know, they sit. I can already see them sitting alongside each other on people's bookshelves.
Yeah.
Just want to talk about, you know, our soundtrack today, the playlist for today's show, because we feature Stone Foundation. I'm careful not to say the Stone Foundation.
Yeah, you've got to be careful.
So Stone Foundation. Am I correct in thinking one or two of the members of Stone Foundation feature in...
Neil Shoesby's in there.
And he plays bass for the band, doesn't he?
Yeah, Yeah, he does some sections on his previous bands and his influences, and touching up on like the Style Council and soul funk and like acid jazz, and then, you know, kind of bookends it with Stone Foundation.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned. I'm glad in one sentence there you've brought together Stone Foundation and the Style Council, because. Yeah. We mentioned earlier, didn't we, sort of Paul Weller's got his, you know, new album just out, A Kind Revolution, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. is the title.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, it's from the record player.
I mean, it's quite a sort of, as far as mod art is concerned, that's got quite a stunning sort of cover.
It is. It's got that kind of eye-catching, you walk past it and what's that, you know, it's not complicated, but it's very effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very artistic.
Couldn't agree more. But Stone Foundation, if we're talking about things or people complementing one another, do you want to tell our listeners the link between Stone Foundation and Paul Weller?
Well, obviously, he produced the latest Stone Foundation album, sung on the single, Balloon Rising. I think there's musically a connection there, but the identity is... very much Stone Foundations.
Yes, absolutely. But didn't Paul Weller appear on stage with them just the other night?
Yeah, the other night I saw someone post a photo, yeah.
Everybody's doing what they need to say. Street rituals that will keep us alive. Don't ever deny that you have life on your side. These street rituals, they'll be there as your guide.
And I don't wanna cause a fuss, but they're trying to trip us up.
And I don't
wanna cause a fuss, but they're trying to trip us up.
No compromise in what you truly believe. Cast no stone upon the judgment we see. To see that we're in this together. It's obvious that we're of the same face. So tell me, who's been helping who when we got so much work to do? It's something we just have to prove through these street bridges. Whoa, through these street bridges.
quite clearly here, you know, your contributors to your book are people who are not just people who have something to say about mod. We're talking about recording artists, we're talking about writers, you know, who are producing in their own way. So thinking about people getting hold of Mojo Talking at the moment, you know, people who sort of got pre-orders just delivered, like myself, things are falling out of the book already, and they're not loose pages. You've got, I'm rustling this, you've got a little sort of insert which states, you've got your Mojo Talking and it's signed.
Couldn't resist it.
Yeah, well, are these just with the pre-orders at the moment?
I'm probably going to continue putting those in, to be honest, for the foreseeable.
It's a lovely personal touch, I must
admit. I do like to put that personal thing, you know, all my books, if anybody ever, you know, gets in touch and says, can you dedicate it? And I've done a few with these pre-orders and previous book titles. I always do that, you know, it's a moment of time and, you know, it's my pleasure to do that because they've got the interest in my work, so that's the least I can do. All signed copies.
No, that's brilliant to hear. And you do dedications as well, we've heard?
Yeah, like I say, a dedication. Anybody gets in touch with me and makes a point to, can you do this? No problem whatsoever.
Excellent. And the other thing that fell out, hang on, let me just...
Here we go. It's coming out now.
That's not thunder, everyone. That's Mojo Talking Under the Influence of Mod. There's a poster.
Right, yeah, those were the first 100, the first 100 pre-orders, yeah.
And that's signed as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just obviously for the benefit of our listeners, it's a version of the cover, isn't it?
The cover of
Mojo.
A white background. Yeah. Unfortunately, we had to fold those because there was no way we could, because it's quite a biggish post. I think it's A3.
Of course.
But it's free.
Again, talking about free, I mean, obviously the book isn't free, but considering I'm just going to drop it on the desk a second. Hang on. There we are.
It's a big old book.
Feel the weight. You mentioned how many, well over, was it 500 odd pages?
514 pages. Yeah.
I mean, and we're talking both hands to sort of hold it up. Compared to sort of academic publishing, you know, where, you know, books cost £60-70 a throw, this is an affordable price at the moment. Direct from yourself, how much is it?
It's £24.99.
Yeah.
That's a recommended price. I mean, the printing cost went up after I did Sorrow Season, and obviously it's more pages, so we had to put the cover price up. But yeah, I think for the amount of pages you get and what is in there, I think it's value for money.
Mm-hmm. And you said
I'm biased.
Well, you know, you're quite right to say that. It is affordable, and the copies are selling as a result of it not only being a lovely book, but that it is an affordable. And I think Steve has...
Just trying to work out, I think it's £50 a page.
Right.
Something like that.
Your maths is probably better than mine.
Probably way off, I'm playing. Yeah, it's a beautiful hardback as well, isn't it? I mean, it's just a lovely presentation, so...
Yeah.
You got
mentioned, Tony, that if people overseas haven't quite got their copies yet, they've been sent out and...
They've all been sent, yeah.
They'll get them soon because, I mean, as part of our set of playlists for today, we've got Pop and Court, we've got French Boutique, we've got Men of North Country. Do you want to just say a little bit about mod being international and how perhaps that's quite central to mod itself?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, right from the beginning, there's been this cosmopolitan, continental influence. You know, the original mods were embraced everything that was new, you know, hence the name, you know, which kind of spawned from modern jazz, but also of being modern. But obviously, that was a multitude of influences and inspirations and across fashion and music and everything else. I think I've got a section near the European impact, which kind of brings you up to date of a selection of people across Europe and their influences, and you know, the band French Boutique, obviously from the continent. I think it's important, you know, that mod's not got the kind of small-minded Little England aspect, that it is global. You know, we've got to recognise it is global now, and its influences may have originated out of a collective of people that were influenced in turn by global, well, continental influences.
Well, two quick responses on that. Firstly, my mathematics, I've worked out now, should be 5p a page. I apologise for that, sorry.
That makes more sense.
Let's hope we haven't put anyone off.
Yeah. I do apologise. Yeah. I do apologise.
Can I buy 3p?
Yeah. I'll have to correct myself completely openly on that. Also, on the subject of French Boutique, I mean, when you think about all that's going on in the world, and particularly maybe in the UK, but certainly and Europe right now, tell us a little bit more about French Boutique and the kind of European, I suppose, aspects of the musical territory we're talking about.
French Boutique, I bought the album from Bobby, who's the official stockist, Jimmy Mike Vintage, probably about a month and a half ago, something like that. I found it really refreshing. They've just got a particular style that's really breezy and very, very summer sound. As far as stylistically, I think they look great. I think that as well, I think it complements many other images from, let's say, mods-related past. You know, great bands, you know, got everything going for them as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think one of our listeners, Mark Raisin of Monkey Picks blog, he's a few months ago described them as one of the most sort of mod groups, but not for the obvious reasons.
I think that's probably an apt description,
And thinking that they're rather, they're a rather striking group, but the rather striking lead singer is expecting her copy of Major Talking.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's been posted out.
Excellent. Well, she'd be pleased to hear about that. Tony, thank you for your time today. It's very much appreciated. You know, we're doing this special on your book because the book needs to be read, needs to be seen, and in a way needs to be, hence us doing this podcast, needs to be heard.
Really thankful for your time.
No, our pleasure.
It's just to say, Tony, just before you go, just to say, I don't know whether you've heard much of the Loose Goose Radio Show, but a lot of the territories you're kind of talking about in the book aren't a million miles from the kind of stuff that we've talked about on previous shows, so you might enjoy it, I hope.
But yeah, definitely. Brilliant
talking to you, and good luck with everything. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Thanks
cheers,
for
Tony.
Time.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, then. Bye.
Cheers, Tony. Thanks a lot, man.
Echoes through the fog of verse and time.
Well, that was the Men of North Country and their track Forever Starts Tonight. Wonderful, wonderful cinematic like track.
And thanks once again to Tony Beasley for a fascinating interview. And it was lovely to hear those northern tones on the Loose Goose, Peter.
It was, yes. We've gone for diversity there, cultural diversity, I think we've gone for.
And on the subject, sort of cultural diversity, during the interview with Tony, unfortunately, we can't offer you a stunning prize for this, but just kind of for fun, really. On the front cover, it features a chap who Peter will tell you about in a second, and he's got a record in his hands, and we said during the interview with Tony, and even he couldn't identify it, what is that record? And I wonder, when we load up everything on Facebook, if any of you there can tell us what the record it is in his hands. And what's the gentleman's name again?
Well, it's the image is courtesy of Darren Ousins. And yes, as part of the image is this sort of rather youthful chap wistfully looking at this, what I assume is some form of old soul record. But I could be wrong there. I'm not trying to sway our listeners into any particular answer where they go for a particular genre, a musical genre or whatever. But yes, an answer to that particular question.
Okay, and that would be great. And particularly when you look at the contributors to the book and also the contributors to the Loose Goose page, I'm sure somebody should be able to solve that one. Thanks once again for listening to the Loose Goose Radio Show, our last one before the general election in the UK. And who knows what will happen and what the situation will be when we're next back. But as ever, we've enjoyed it. Please keep in touch. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Dr. Peter Yoshimiak, for your fabulous contribution. And for the time being, thank you very much.
And thank you, Steve.